If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We count it a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here at Worth Baptist Church, we are rejoicing in the tremendous summer that God is giving us during our revival time period. Remember, summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church, and God is blessing with the salvation of lost souls, with revival spirit, and additions to our church every Lord's Day. We would like to invite you and your family to come and share with us in this revival time. Remember, our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock, our morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship service at 7. The Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is thoroughly graded and carefully supervised. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level, and we have but one textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church, and that is the Bible. We're currently in a series of studies in the book of Hebrews. It would be our joy to have you come and study God's Word with us in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. And remember, Sunday school is a family affair. Bring the whole family and share together in the study of the Bible. The motto of our Sunday school is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our theme for this year is building for Christ as we build for eternity. We are now in the process of completing our new building at Loop A20 and Campus Drive. In fact, we will occupy the new facilities in the fall of this year. We covet your prayers in these matters that the blessings of God would continue upon us as we build for Christ and build for eternity. In the meanwhile, at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we would enjoy having you and your family worship God together with us today. During the days of the summer, our emphasis is upon revival, and revival time is being experienced throughout all phases of the church's ministry. 1 week from today, on Sunday, July 3rd, we will observe God and Country Day. This should be an outstanding time, and we admonish you to attend church on Sunday, July 3rd, first, because you love God, and second, because you are a loyal and patriotic citizen of America, the greatest country on earth. With all of our faults and failures and problems in government and education and society, the United States of America is still the greatest nation on earth. And we are praying that during the days of the summer, God would send a mighty sweeping revival, a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal to our great nation. We ask you to join with us during these days in praying that this great spiritual explosion, spiritual awakening, spiritual renewal, spiritual revival will begin right here in the city of Fort Worth. Pray for revival and be a part of the revival emphasis at Worth Baptist Church today. Remember again, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. And we would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. If you would like a free cassette tape containing today's message, all you need to do is write and request it. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. We shall look forward to hearing from you by mail this week. And again, we invite you to share revival time during the summertime at Worth Baptist Church. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, the conversion of Naaman. I shall read from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come before Thee, thanking Thee for Thy blessings during these days of the summer. We thank Thee for America. We thank Thee for the freedom of worship. I pray today that men all over this nation might be turned to Thee, and that we would experience a genuine revival in America. If we pray not amiss, we ask that Thou wouldst begin this revival right here in the city of Fort Worth, even in our own midst, in the churches of our city, in the Christian hearts and homes and lives of Thy people. Send a great revival, O God. Revive us again that our hearts might rejoice in Thee. I pray, dear God, that we, as Americans, as Christians, as believers, might realize that our only hope is in Christ. Bless this broadcast and bless every listener, our sick and shut-in friends, our aging citizens, those in the rest homes, those who are driving across the city, in their places of business or homes or wherever they are in this hour. I pray that Thou wouldst use this message to bring conviction to hearts. And dear God, send us a revival ere it is too late for America. These things we ask in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. And now to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. This is a beautiful story in 2 Kings chapter 5. In fact, the Bible is a beautiful book. The Bible is the most intriguing, fascinating, thrilling book ever to be written. Where else could you find such a charming, exciting, explosive, exhilarating, spellbinding story as you find within the framework of my text? Whoever said that the Bible is a dull, drab, depressing book, I would say this: the critics of the Bible are those who know the least about it and who read it the very least. I believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of the living God. And the Bible has the answer to all of your personal problems, to our city problems, state problems, national problems, and all the international problems that confront us as a world today. Yes, the Bible is God's revelation to mankind. And the Bible is filled with charming, exciting stories like unto that in my text today. Do you remember when you were a child the stories that appealed to you most? Those stories that held your attention more than anything else were those stories that had four ingredients or four elements. One, imagination. Two, tragedy. Three, a ray of hope. And finally, number four, that longed-for sentence, the very last line of the story, which usually read, "They all lived happily ever after." Well, such is the story of Naaman. There is imagination, there is tragedy, there's a ray of hope, and truly, Naaman lives happily ever after. One reason that this story so appeals to us is because it parallels our own experience. For example, instead of putting the name Naaman in the text, put your name. Instead of leprosy, write in sin. Instead of the Jordan River, write about the fountain of blood from the cross upon which our Lord Jesus Christ died. As the hymn writer put it, There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. My friend, I want you to know today that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin and all unrighteousness. In this message entitled The Conversion of Naaman, there are four things that I want you to observe with me about this man and about his condition. First, the magnificence of Naaman. Naaman was a great man. He was on the top rung of the ladder. He was commander-in-chief of the army of Syria. Not only that, but the Bible says he was an honorable man, that is, cultured, refined, educated, and proper. And the Bible says he was a mighty man of valor. He had won many battles in wars. He was decorated with all of the decorations of Syria. But he was a leper. All of his greatness could not eradicate the leprosy that plagued his body. And I would say to you, this is a picture of every man outside Jesus Christ. For every man outside Christ is plagued with the leprosy of sin. And all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible says, there is not a good man upon the earth who doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Naaman is a picture of all men outside Jesus Christ who have the malady of sin. Naaman's leprosy is a type of sin. No doubt he had been to all the doctors in Syria, but he needed the hand of the great physician. I would say to you that you too need the hand of the great physician. You can go to all of the psychiatrists and psychologists and philosophers and doctors and preachers and lawyers and statesmen and politicians and educators in the earth today. But what you need is the touch of the great physician. You need the hand of Jesus Christ upon your life, without which you'll go on in your leprosy until it destroys you. You see, leprosy was a disease that started out in the skin and made the skin a ghostly, deathly white. At first, there's no pain in leprosy, and a person hardly knows that he has it. But then all of a sudden he loses a finger and a hand and an arm. And finally, leprosy brings death. Now let's apply that to sin. Sin is like leprosy. Sin eats insidiously as a cancer. At first, you don't even realize you have it. At first, sin has very little pain. But then, gradually, like a cancer, sin claims your entire moral being. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says sin, lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. My friend, the end of your way is a tragedy. The Bible says there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You could be named the citizen of the year, the young man of the year. You could be given all kinds of citations and awards and recognitions by government, by educators, by all of the areas and elements of our society. But my friend, you're still a sinner without the blood of Jesus Christ. Without Christ as your Savior, you're still a sinner and you're headed toward an eternal lake of fire that burns forever and ever. Yes, Naaman was a magnificent man, but he was a leper. You may be an outstanding person, but without Jesus Christ, you are a sinner. Now, the second thing about this man and his household is the maid who witnessed to Naaman. Notice about her, she was little. She was unnamed. She was a captive from a foreign land. No doubt she had a language barrier, but she still witnessed to Naaman of the power of God through the prophet Elisha. Remember, she said, "I wish that my Lord Naaman could be over in Samaria where the prophet of God is, and he would receive healing from all of his leprosy." Yes, she was limited in many ways. No doubt she had very little education and training, but she knew God, and that makes the difference. And my friend, that will make the difference in your life, knowing God through Jesus Christ, his Son. Let's notice the third thing about Naaman, the mistakes made by this honorable man named Naaman. There were three basic mistakes. Mistake number one, Naaman thought he could buy his salvation and his cleansing. He took with him $80,000, thinking he could impress the prophet and buy his cleansing. My friend, your money does not impress God. You might have all the money in the world. You might have all the gold in Fort Knox. You might have all the diamonds and all the silver and all the riches and all the wealth of the world. But your wealth cannot buy your way to heaven. There is but one way to heaven, and that's in the form of a cross. And the only way you'll ever get to heaven is through Jesus Christ. The second mistake that Naaman made was this. Naaman went to the wrong person for his cleansing. Verse 6 tells us he went to the king of Israel. My friend, you can go to the president, to the kings, to the monarchs, to the tyrants, to the rulers of all the earth, but none of these can heal you of the leprosy of sin. You must go to the right person, and the right person is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There is but one source of cleansing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. There is but one person, not two. Salvation is in a person, and only in a person, and only in one person, and that one person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain. The third mistake that Naaman made was this. Naaman wanted to be healed his own way rather than God's way. He said, "I can go back to the rivers of Damascus." When the prophet Elisha told him to dip 7 times in the Jordan, he became angry. He was enraged. He was furious. He was mad. The Bible says he went away in a rage because he felt that the cure of Damascus was as good as the cure of God, but it isn't. You might think that you can go to heaven your way. You can learn the catechisms. You can pledge yourself to the pastor or to the church or to the pope or to the priest, and you can go to heaven on your own good merits. But my friend, you must go God's way, and God's way is the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. There's no other way but this. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. Yes, he wanted to be healed his own way. Perhaps Naaman said, "Why, this is too free. Surely it must cost something." Maybe he said, "It's too simple. Surely there must be something more to it." Perhaps he said, "It's too humiliating. I can't go and dip in the Jordan River. What would my friends think of me?" My friend, let me say this to you. It doesn't matter what your friends think. It's what God knows. Some of you would already have come to church. You would already have been saved if you weren't afraid of what your friends and your business associates would think of you. But my friend, when you stand before God at the judgment day, you won't be concerned about what your friends think then. You'll be concerned about the record of God, and you best be concerned about it today. Forget what your friends will think and make your stand for Jesus Christ and for the church before it's too late. Jesus said, "If you're ashamed of me before this sinful and adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of you before my Father who is in heaven." My friends, you best confess Jesus Christ today, right now, and take a public stand for Christ and for the church this very day. Now, the fourth thing about Naaman is this, the miracle that was performed upon him. Did you ever see a miracle? Well, there's one in verse 14 of my text. When Naaman went down to the Jordan River and dipped 7 times, God performed a miracle. His leprosy was healed and his skin was like that of a baby, and he was made completely whole again. Picture him for a moment standing on the banks of the Jordan. The whole retinue of servants are looking on. All of his friends are looking on. And suddenly, losing his pride, he takes one dip into the Jordan River. After the first dip, nothing happened. After the second, the third, the fourth, nothing happened. After the fifth, nothing happened. Even after the sixth dip, nothing happened. But wait, when Naaman perfected his obedience by dipping 7 times, a miracle of God took place, and he was completely healed. You, my friend, should take God at His word and see what happens. In Romans chapter 10, verse 8, it is written, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Yes, friend, take God at His word, and God will perform the miracle of salvation in your life. Observe in chapter 5 of 2 Kings at verse 11, Naaman said, "I thought." But by the time we come to verse 15, Naaman says, "I know that there is no God in all the earth like the God in Israel." My friend, you don't have to guess about it or think about it or say, "I think," or "perhaps," or "maybe so." All you need to do is trust Jesus Christ, and then you can say, "I know that I'm saved. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know whom I have believed. I know I'm saved by the blood of Jesus Christ." I have this footnote, and I shall be through. My footnote is in the form of a verse of Scripture found in Isaiah chapter 1 at verse 18. "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." May God help you right now by your radio to pray the sinner's prayer. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this moment, God will perform a miracle in your soul. You can be born again. You can be saved even now by trusting Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. May the Lord help you to do it right now. And write us and tell us about it this week. Remember our mailing address: Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And don't forget, we'll be looking for you in the Sunday School Hour at 10, the Morning Worship Hour at 11, the Evening Worship Hour at 7, at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. So until next Lord's Day at this same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.